to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Friday morning, the 27th of November 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the cricket. And finally, we're going to get some international men's cricket on home soil again. Very much looking forward to the first one-day international between Australia and India today. And Aaron Finch is looking forward to seeing his teammates in person.
It'll be a little bit unusual. We had a team meeting this afternoon, which was via Zoom as well, which is never you never get used to it, actually. But I think it won't be too much of a problem, to be honest. I think everyone's on the same page in terms of how we want to play one-day cricket.
Out of quarantine and straight to the SCG for most of the Aussie cricketers who've been spending time over there in the IPL. It is a strange, strange 2020, but at least we've got some more sport to watch as we approach the summer. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Bite, including some great news in the world of racing, and we'll bring you that next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns a little later on this morning. Lots to get through on the Brekkie Club too. Half Whitey and Rammer, as always, to take you through a Friday. And they've got plenty to have a chat about as well, including, as always, the most important half hour of the week. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn from 7 o'clock this morning, plus plenty of other big-name guests. Scotty Gallen, part of the show, as always, for a bit of Friday fun. So very much looking forward to that after 6. Don't also forget, after 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And then another very important hour, Michael Sharkey in for Friday Form Focus. If you do miss it, head to the website, rsn.net.au, or make sure you subscribe to Racing Pulse, and you'll get that podcast delivered to you at about 10.01 every Friday. After 10.30 today, RSN Central with Gareth Hall, with all of the form and Dino and Hamish leading up to a big weekend. So a chock-a-block Friday morning, as always, on RSN. Looking forward to it all. Let's get stuck into the Breakfast Bite, though, with the first one-day international to be played a little later on today, just after 2 o'clock, as Australia take on India at the SCG. We will start with Aaron Finch here, who has spoken about his form in the IPL, which was a little patchy.
Sometimes can forget about when you're focusing just on T20. You can tend to get a little bit one-paced with your training and almost, focus on power hitting rather than a few minor technical things that can help you out.
So Finch in the IPL went 52, 8, 13, 2, 47, 20, 14, 16, 15, and 32. So he was getting starts, just not going on with it. So fingers crossed that can be mended in the one-day arena as Australia play India a little later today. Let's also hear from Aaron Finch on Marcus Stoinis and Glenn Maxwell and having full faith in those two to share the bowling duties.
I think what Maxie's shown in T20 cricket in particular is bowling keeps improving all the time, and I think Marcus Stoinis has proved that as well with the amount of exposure over the last couple of years he's had bowling at the death.
Aaron Finch there speaking yesterday. We'll hear more from Finchie a little later on in terms of how they get out Virat Kohli, which could have gone for 10 minutes, but he did his best yesterday. Now let's have a listen to what happened last night in the WBBL with a huge collapse by the Brisbane Heat. Looked like they were cruising towards victory, chasing just 144 for victory. But then the Sydney Thunder took plenty of wickets late and almost stole a place in the final. It was an extraordinary performance last night. So 6 for 143 the Sydney Thunder women made, with a pretty good effort through the middle order from Rachel Haynes, making 48 from 44 deliveries. Beaumont at the top of the order, 27 from 20. It didn't really look like it was enough, as the Heat seemed to be cruising, really, at 4 for 119. And then that started the loss of Georgia Vol. Started a bit of a mini collapse. Their last five batters in the innings, 1-2, duck, duck, 2. So it was a huge collapse in the end, and they fell 13 runs short in the end. So a big loss there for the Brisbane Heat in the semi-final of the Women's Big Bash. So the Sydney Thunder through to the final to take on the Melbourne Stars, that to take place over the weekend. Hannah Darlington was the player of the match. She caught up with the media after the win.
Yeah, I was probably pretty lucky. There wasn't much going through my head. I pretty much knew what I had to do and just had to execute. And it was really nice to have Rach and Sammy Joe up there talking me through it. So, yeah, I'm not really one to get nervous, but I think there was a lot going on. But, yeah, pretty lucky to have not much going through my head.
Yeah, and how happy are you with the bowling act of Thunder? Has kind of came out and defended well and kind of stepped up. What do you make of them at the moment, especially coming into, you know, the big final on Saturday?
I think after the total we posted, we knew we could defend it, and with the bowling unit we have, it's definitely our strong suit, and I think it's coming against the top order of the Stars. It's a really nice confidence boost for our bowling group on.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
Thanks, Jocelyn. Ailey, head to you.
Scott. Hannah, at what point in the game did you sort of think that it was actually possible that you could pull that off?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about our group is a huddle every time before we go out there is just a stakes. And yeah, I think Laura Kimmins got away, but we knew as soon as you got into the lower order, we could pull it off. And that's exactly what we did. So I never a kind of moment there.
What about for yourself? WBBL final, probably your career so far, but is there anything you can draw a few days as far as experience in these kind of games goes?
I've been lucky to play in a couple of high-pressure matches in underage cricket, some tours overseas as well. So I'll be pulling on that experience we have in our team, and they're the perfect people to learn off. So tomorrow will be really important just to get a run. You know, we've got Heather Knight, Rach to be able.
So there we go, Hannah Darlington, after an amazing win last night by the Sydney Thunder, as the Brisbane Heat basically choked three runouts in that innings too. It was carnage everywhere. So they'll be disappointed with what was a pretty solid season up until last night. More from Aaron Finch to come a little later on in the show. Let's now head to the racing world. Giles Thompson yesterday speaking on RSN about the possibility of crowds.
Under the Victorian government's public events framework, which they issued last weekend, clubs can submit an application a week before an event to have up to 500 people attend the race meeting. They've got to meet all the protocols and requirements, the guidelines, you know, the classic sort of separation measures, COVID safe practices, and we have had several clubs make those applications. We are optimistic. I don't have a definitive answer, but we're optimistic that we will get news later today that Yarra Valley on Saturday and the Warrnambool Jericho Cup on Sunday we'll have some attendance. We'll have up to 500.
And that was, in fact, confirmed late last night. Great news for everyone associated with racing. Spectators to return to Victorian race meetings from this weekend. So last night it was announced that Racing Victoria and Country Racing Victoria would be allowing 500 attendees under COVID-safe protocols from this Saturday, which, of course, is tomorrow. Under the government's COVID-19 public events framework, racing clubs can welcome limited spectators to attend where they have an approved COVID-safe event plan or have completed and registered a COVID-safe event checklist, depending on the number of attendees and the event's risk profile. We are pleased to welcome up to 500 spectators to the following race meetings this weekend. Saturday the 28th, of course, tomorrow at Yarra Valley, as mentioned by Giles Thompson there, and also at Warrnambool for the Jericho Cup on Sunday. So a fantastic result there, and hopefully those numbers can continue to increase over the next couple of months. And then you never know, we might be back to normal. I don't want to say it, don't want to jinx anything, but hopefully going through the summer months, we're heading towards some sense of normality. But that is fantastic news coming through late last night. We'll put all the information up on rsn.net.au. Let's now head quickly to the soccer world, where the tributes continued to roll in for Diego Maradona, who lost his life a couple of nights ago. This news about 36 hours old, and he was aged just 60, of course. Yesterday on Fox Sports, great to see Robbie Slater, Graham Arnold and Paul Wade all pay tribute to the Argentine legend.
1993, Diego brought the game alive here in Australia.
Well, we were normally next to births and deaths in the newspaper. That's how far back we were. It was on the front of every newspaper. Every news bulletin started with Diego Maradona.
Maybe only one of the only times that the old Sydney Football Stadium was packed to the rafters. There was people even sitting on the steps.
I was lucky enough to be involved in what was the greatest night of my life in respect to a game I played against him in 93, which really changed my life and my football career.
We'll hear a few more of the tributes a little later in the Breakfast Bite. Now time to head to the footy world, where there's still, amazingly, what is it, the 27th of November, and there's still plenty of footy news around. A couple of retirements. We'll hear from Cade Colajasny, who retired from the D's, of course, played plenty of football up at the Gold Coast Suns, but unfortunately his time has come to an end because of concussion issues.
At the end of the day, my body just wasn't capable of getting out in the park and proving myself, which is quite disappointing. I remember telling my club doctor that it felt like my brain's been rewired a little bit. I felt emotionally, I was probably had a bit of anxiety for no real reason, even a bit of depression at times. Even little things like getting up to take the dog for a walk, I couldn't really do. At the end of the day, you just don't want anyone to go through what myself and past players that are retired from concussions went through.
Cade Colajasny there speaking on Channel 9 yesterday, so a shame for him. The other news in terms of retirement was someone coming out of it. We will see James Frawley next year at St Kilda. Nice to see Frawley back in the Saints colours, but this a little bit from left field. There had been a few rumours floating around over the last couple of weeks, but he will move to the Saints from the Hawks as a delisted free agent. He pulled the pin on his career just a month or so ago. But now the decision has been made that he reckons he can squeeze a little bit more out of that body of his. So he'll head to the Saints, and very interested to see what he can bring in red, white and black next year. Let's head to Jeff Kennett yesterday. Some other news with the Hawks receiving $15 million for their redevelopment out at Dingley. Let's hear what Jeff had to say on the awarding of that money from the government.
We have been working on this project for 3 years, and to now to have the federal government support, after a lot of scrutiny by the officers of the various departments federally and work by our officers, Tim, and my very, very good lady friend there who have been working with the officers of all departments. This is, in one sense, a continuation of the culmination of our commitment to this part of the city of Melbourne and the southeastern suburbs. So when we today thank the federal government, we're also doing it on behalf of the community in the southeastern suburbs. So many other areas of Victoria get attention, but increasingly this is where the population growth is occurring. And to provide this growing population with community facilities along the lines that we're able to do in partnership with them is for us a great honour, because we've always been a family club and we're extending our facilities to our family in the southeast. And we thank the people who have been associated in working with us to get to this stage.
Jeff Kennett there speaking yesterday. Let's finish with the Hawks and Kyle Hardigan yesterday speaking about making the move to Waverley.
Mate, it's awesome. Like, it's good to finally get in here and see the facilities and meet some of the boys and the coaches. So, yeah, really excited. Oh, sort of towards the end of the season, weighing up what was going to happen at the end of the year, and had some talks with Adelaide. And, yeah, they came to me after the season and said could be some interest from the Hawks. So we sat down and we spoke about it at the end of the year. And then, yeah, we got in contact and had a sit-down Zoom with as 2020 evolves, and with Clarko and Righty, and yeah, and then it all went from there after the season, and lucky enough to get the opportunity to come over. I just hopefully be able to play my role in the defence and bring whatever is asked of me, play my role for the team week in, week out consistently. I'm guessing that's probably going to be on the big key forwards from the opposition week in, week out. Looking at the club over the last 10 years, is probably a really strong club and a great Victorian club. That excites me, and that was massive driving force to play for a really strong Victorian club. Last year, sort of, I think once they went into the huddle, they struggled a little bit. But before they got into the huddle, they were 3-1, and I think they beat Brisbane and Richmond, and so yeah, they showed that they can play some really strong footy. And especially at the MCG, which hopefully without COVID we can get a few games back there and play some good footy and compete for finals. Oh, it was awesome to play against like Ruffy. He's such a great of the game and he was such a champion. So it was awesome to play against him for a couple of years. Always tough because they were always so strong. And even when they weren't going that well, they still managed to find a way to beat us. We were one of the teams that always seemed to get us at Adelaide Oval when we were up and going at the Crows for a few years. So not so much an individual, but as a team, they just seemed to find a way to always knock us off no matter how they were going.
Kyle Hartigan there speaking yesterday. Let's now head to the tennis world, where there's some interesting news floating around just about every day as to when the start of the Australian Open will take place. It does look like that it'll be moved either 1 or 2 weeks. So that will start either the first week of Feb or the 25th of January. Let's have a listen to what Martin Pakula, Victorian Minister, had to say yesterday on that start date.
I wouldn't want to pick between them. You know, all of the talk's been about a 1 or 2 week delay, and I think I still think that's the most likely situation, but I wouldn't want to take any other possibilities off the table. There is that complex kind of interaction with other tournaments and whether or not, you know, what's more important to players, leading events or getting to other tournaments, and I think that's kind of going to influence, you know, which day we start.
There we go, Martin Pakula speaking yesterday. It was a big day in the NRL yesterday as well, considering they have announced a start date for their 2021 season. Melbourne Storm to open proceedings against the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Amy Park. Won't that be nice to finally see the Storm back at home after they escaped Melbourne for most of 2020? They'll take on the Rabbitohs on the 11th of March, and then the following night we'll see the New Zealand Warriors play at home against the Titans. That's on the Saturday, rather. So the two teams who spent most time away from home are getting underway at home to open the season in 2021, which is a fantastic initiative by the NRL. Let's have a listen to what Andrew Abdo, the CEO, had to say about that yesterday.
If we don't get there and we've got internal deadlines and we've prepared for the permutations of that not occurring, we've been working with the Warriors on relocating them to Australia as we've done in 2020 and for them to play in blocks in Australia. At this stage, based on the infection rates and the information available to us, we're confident that the borders will be open. But what we're planning for at the moment is borders being open, the infection rates remaining as they are at the moment, which allows then the players to just adhere to public protocols.
So Andrew Abdo prepared to be pretty flexible on that start date too, if in fact any outbreak happens or any borders are shut or any restrictions occur. So the NRL world still having to deal, obviously, with COVID-19 protocols heading in to next season. Let's head, we'll stay with Andrew Abdo. One important game that's going to take place in Melbourne a little later on in the year is Origin, which is due to take place at the MCG in 2021. Let's hear what he had to say about that scheduling.
We're working on a configuration that potentially has Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney, but before formalising that, we want to make sure that it will be a great experience for fans, for players, and of course our partnership with the Victorian government.
A little bit of golf from overnight. Now this, doesn't this look spectacular? The Alfred Dunhill Championship at the moment, which is being played at Leopard Creek Country Club in South Africa. It's the scenery is unbelievable. Lions, tigers, hippos. It is extraordinary. Just hundreds of metres from the golf course. There's been some amazing pictures come through. Back to what's happening on the course. Roussel is leading the way from France along with Merinok from Poland. They're both at 7 under the card. Jamieson is 6 under the card in third position. The Scot and Robert Bland is in 4th at 5 under the Englishman. In terms of the Aussies, you've got to scroll a fair way down. In fact, all the way down to a tie for 80th. Where Scott Hend, I'm pretty sure he's the lone Australian, he is in the field this week. He's at 2 over in a tie for 80th, so hopefully he can make a bit of progress in his second round and head towards the top of the leaderboard heading towards the weekend. Let's have a listen from to Merinok. Now, he is the first Pole to ever finish at the head of a leaderboard at the end of any round in the history of the European Tour.
It's really solid today. I actually had much more chances to go even lower, but I'm very happy with how I played today. And we made some good decisions with my carry, and I'm very pleased.
You made two eagles out there. Can you just talk us through those, please?
Yeah, I started off 10, so my first eagle was on 18 actually. I hit a drive just left of the fairway at 203 to the flag, and I knew it's gonna come out pretty hot, so I took 6, landed next to the flag, rolled to like, 5 meters, and I held the putt. And then the second eagle was on number 6. I held the bunker shot, which was quite nice.
Overall, which areas of your game were you most pleased with out there this morning?
I have to say my short game and the putting was pretty solid. The rest of the game was solid as well, but I would say short game and putting.
How much do you enjoy playing golf out here at Leopard Creek?
I enjoyed it very much. That's my second time. Played last year, first time was super hot, so this time it's a little bit more pleasing, but I love it here. I love the animals, and it's nice to see them in their natural habitat.
Very shy, Adrian Mironok there, but great news for him and his country to see a Polish golfer at the top of the leaderboard. Let's now head back to the cricketing world, where, of course, it is Australia taking on India a little later on today. Before we hear from Aaron Finch, in case you're just waking up and missed the WBBL result from last night, an incredible win by the Sydney Thunder. The Brisbane Heat looked like they were cruising and lost their last 5 wickets for about 15 runs. They were all out for 131, chasing 144 for victory. So the Sydney Thunder win by 12 runs. They now advance to the WBBL final, which is to be played tomorrow. It is the Melbourne Stars v the Sydney Thunder. That match to take place at 7:10 p.m. So cricket coming your way for the next couple of days. Australia, of course, as I mentioned, taking on India a little later on today. Very much looking forward to this contest, which is to be held at the SCG later on today. And then they head on Sunday to Manuka Ovals. They're still at the SCG, and then another ODI at Manuka a little later on. So looking forward to Australia and India. Let's hear from Aaron Finch on getting Virat Kohli out and how the Aussies are going to go about that.
If you look at his record, it's second to none. It really is remarkable. So I think what we have to keep in mind is that we have to keep looking to get him out. I think when you go away from that and you look to contain players, you can sort of miss a trick there. So there's not too many chinks in his armour. He's probably the best one-day player of all time. So it's about sticking to our plans and being really committed in that regard.
Aaron Finch speaking there yesterday. Amazing too, Pakistan playing New Zealand. They're quarantining at the moment in New Zealand. 6 of the Pakistan players have tested positive for COVID-19. So New Zealand, that's been COVID-free for a long time, now have 6 cricketers that they're going to have to quarantine for a while longer until they can prove that they are over the virus. That's the nature of things at the moment. It's going to be like that for a while, but good news is we've got crowds back at the races this Saturday. Very much looking forward to a huge weekend of racing and sport. Enjoy all the offerings, as always, on a Friday on RSN. We'll chat to you again on Monday.